I want you to start off by turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8. Here at Grace Bible Church, we believe that God has a God-ordained method of Bible study. And we believe that as a saved person, you can sit down and you can understand God's Word. And we're going to give you some verses to try to help you with that this morning. We understand that most people think the Bible is confusing. Many people think that the Bible itself cannot be understood, that it's basically based on tradition and emotion, that it's not something that you could actually sit down and open up and read and understand. Here at Grace Bible Church, we believe that you can understand God's Word. And we're going to try to share some verses with you. But I want to throw one verse at you that always gets thrown back at us. Very common tactic of those when we try to share dispensational truth, trying to show people how they can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, we're going to look at a verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that says we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, and for those who are here in the audience, what's the next word? Dividing. Now, we just read a verse that says Jesus Christ is what? The same. When? Yesterday and today and forever. Says He's always the same. But I just read you, just quoted you a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. That it says when you approach God's Word, you're supposed to rightly what? Chop it up. Is that what it says? No, it says rightly divide it. It says when you study God's Word, you're supposed to make divisions. Now, Hebrews chapter 13 says doesn't say anything about dividing Christ, does it? It says He's the same, doesn't it? But what's He the same in? We know for a fact you don't believe your Bible if you think God has dealt with man the same way all the way through the Bible. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve was in there. Who changed in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve changed. Did God have a response to their change? Did they get to stay living in the Garden of Eden? No, they got evicted, didn't they? Now, God had prepared them a place to dwell and to live, did He not? He said, you can live here if you do what I tell you to do. And when they did not do what God told them to do, did God, the way He dealt with them, change? Sure did. Sure did. God had to deal with them in that manner. You go all the way through the Bible and you find that over and over again. But guess what? God didn't change us. You know what? Jesus Christ will never be unrighteous. Do you know that? You know He'll always be true? You know He'll always be omnipotent? You know He'll always be omnipresent? He'll always be just? He'll always be holy? And His attributes and who He is, He will never change. So when we start telling people that you have to stay to show yourselves approved, rightly dividing the word truth, they start saying, well, you're saying that God changes. Well, in the way God deals with mankind, He has changed. And we see that over and over again in Scripture. But God in Himself doesn't change. Hey, I love Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 when somebody brings that up to me because I can make that point out. Hey, I'm thankful that when my God, when my Savior, Jesus Christ, says something, I ain't got to worry about Him changing His mind. Because He's the same. He's always the same. So when I approach His Word, if I find a verse, the only verse in the Bible that tells you to study it is found in Paul's writings. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. So for those of you that are watching this never read the verse, I think it would be a good idea for us to read the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, the issue with understanding God's Word, we find out in the very first word of the verse, says that we are going to have to do something, are we not? Many people have told me before, well, you just need to pray about it. You just need to pray about it. Just need to pray about it, brother. I ain't got nothing wrong with prayer. Paul says you should pray without what? We should be careful in what? nothing when we ask the Lord. We should always be in prayer all the time. But you know what? I can go home every night and say, Lord, make this Bible make sense to me. And never open it up. Is it going to make sense to me? No. I have to pick it up and I have to open it up. Now, here's something amazing. I didn't find this on my own. Somebody shared this with me and said, here's a verse that will tell you how to do this. So I'm sharing this with you today. Study to show thyself approved unto your denomination. Unto Grandpa. That's not what it says, does it? When you study God's Word, we talk about this all the time. You're supposed to have a personal relationship with who? Jesus Christ. So when you approach, you're supposed to be studying to show yourself so you can go down there to that denomination, tell them what a bunch of hypocrites they are and deceivers. Is that what your motivation's supposed to be? Or so at work, when you're standing around the water cooler, you can just let them have it, show them how smart you are. No, when you study, you're supposed to study to show yourself approved unto who? God. A what? Workman. What is work? Is that relaxation? Work, man. This says you got to be a workman. You have to put some energy in this thing. A workman that needeth not to be what? Why should you not be ashamed? Why would Paul tell you that? Is there some people that's going to have a reaction to this? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing error from truth. It's not what it says, does it? It says rightly dividing the word of truth. The whole Bible is the word of truth. Got this recorded on the tape. I believe every single word in this book. There's not one lie in it. Every bit of it is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and is infallible, and these words will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And everything God said in these words will come to pass. Every single word. But not every bit of it's written to me. And it's not all written to me personally. And when I understood that I could understand the Bible, and there was a way for me to say, hey, that meant a lot to me, folks. When I could go home and in the privacy of me and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and I could sit down and open a word of passage and read it and understand it, I don't know about you people, but that sent joy through my soul.
Amen.
That I, me, could do that. Sit down and read a verse and it makes sense to me. People go through their whole life looking at verses of Scripture and don't know what it means. And don't fully understand it. And base their whole life on emotion and try to get that charge up on Sunday morning and there's something missing it and they never feel it. Paul said that he came to do what with the Word of God? Fulfill the Word of God. The verse that they said up here this morning, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. People, we ought to be exposed to the Word of God, and we ought to be workmen laboring to try to understand it, because God's got something to tell you today that'll clear up a lot of confusion. And that knowledge that you can get from the Scriptures will bring that emotion. A lot of people think I'm against emotion. Oh, you shouldn't be emotional. No, it's the doctrine that makes me emotional. I'm kind of emotional right now. See? It's the information within the Scripture that gets my emotion and gets my blood going. See? Now, I could try to come up with something and become a pep rally and get y'all's feet stomping and everybody, and not tell you a thing, and you'd leave here going, boy, the Lord was in there today. Hallelujah. And I've had people tell me that. You know, boy, you should have been in my church last night. Why is that? Boy, the Spirit was moving. Well, what did you just talk about? Well, we didn't talk about anything. You know? They didn't get anything from the Scripture. What motivates me? I tell you what, when I'm listening to a man preach or teach, and he teaches, watching Jordan last night, and I know he was talking about the putting the blood, you know, in Exodus, putting the blood over the post, the top of the post, and to the side, and the blood drips down on the ground, and that's a picture of a cross, and I'm like, yeah! You know? I see the design of God's Word in the Scriptures. And I can get over here on this side of the cross and read what the Apostle Paul talks about, and I can go back and look and understand all that stuff and go, there it is. There it is. My Lord doesn't change. He's the same. He'll never change. But how He deals with man is different. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. In one hand, as we say, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Matthew 21, 2 Corinthians 12. The references that I'm going to give you today are by no means even close to every single one that we could spend time on. But I'm going to try to share with you some of the idea of what is probably most familiar with people. Second Corinthians 12, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse 22. For those of you who have red letter Bibles, who's doing the speaking right here? Jesus Christ is doing the speaking. Jesus says that, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing," what? "Ye shall receive." Who said that? Christ said that. Said that all things. Did He leave anything out? He said, "All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing," what? "Ye shall receive." Can we all pray today that everybody in the state of Tennessee would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Can we all agree that in this room? Is there one person in here today that would say, "No, that ain't something we should do"? See, I've met people that say, "Name it and what?
Claim it."
We name that. We claim it and it doesn't happen. What happens to our faith? But Jesus said it. Jesus said it. So what are you going to do with it? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Here's the Apostle Paul. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ and says, "At least I should be exalted," verse 7, "above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He asked the Lord how many times? Three times. "Take it away." Now over here Jesus said, if you ask anything, you'll get it. Paul has to ask how many times? Jesus didn't say, if you ask three times and believe it and prayerfully, I'll deliver. He said, you just ask it now and you'll receive it. Here Paul is an apostle and he's saying, "Lord," three different times he asks the Lord to take it away from him. What does the Lord say in verse 9? And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what Jesus said to him? You know what God said to him? No. Then give it to him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, in the book of 1 Timothy, look at verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Paul says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can do what?" You ain't going to carry nothing out of here. You didn't bring anything in, you ain't going to carry anything out. Verse 8, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith what?" Having food and raiment. Doesn't say asking, having all your prayers answered, does it? It says if you have food and you have raiment, what are you supposed to be today? Content. Now that message will fill the offering plate up, folks. They'll have cards and letters coming. If you have food and raiment, you're supposed to be content. Now that's not what I see on television today. What I see on television today is name it and claim it. All these physical blessings and all this stuff. Well, how do we make sense of all this? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15, stay to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to show you that in the passages that we looked at, Jesus was talking to, he was talking to somebody, wasn't he? He was talking to certain people, was he not? Look with me through John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 22. John chapter 4, verse 22. Here it is. The Lord Jesus talking, speaking again. John chapter 4, verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of who? What did Jesus tell the Gentile woman at the well? He wouldn't talk to her there, would he? She had to go through the Old Testament principle of acknowledging that he was the true God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right here the verse says, salvation is of who? The Jews. When you're dealing with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who are the 12 apostles dealing with? The Jews. During the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ said, if you'll ask it, you'll receive it, guess what? If you asked it, prayer and believing, you know what you would get? What you asked for. You would get it. Peter's shadow would cast over people, and what would happen to them? They'd be healed, wouldn't they? There wasn't a disease, there was not nothing that could not be accomplished during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Everything that was asked happened right then. But Paul says, having food and raiment, what? Look at Matthew chapter 10. Salvation is of the Jews. Well, if I don't know anything about Scripture and I don't know how to study it, if it says salvation is of the Jews, I have a problem right now. Because guess what? I'm not. I'm not a Jew. And the words of Jesus Christ says salvation is of the Jews. So I'm going to turn to the 12 apostles and see what's going on with them. Verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10. Jesus says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the who? The Gentiles. Salvation is of who? Of the Jews. Go not into the way of the... And any city of Samaritans entered ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I have some verses here that tell me that salvation is of the Jews, and the 12 are only supposed to go to the Jews, and they're supposed to stay away from Gentiles. So under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I find out something that for in order for me to get access to God the Father, what must I be? I better convert over into Judaism. The Bible has a word for that doctrine. You become a proselyte. You find them over in the book of Acts. I would have to convert over into Judaism. Look at Romans chapter 11. The very same apostle that gives us the only verse in the Bible that tells us to study the Bible gives us another piece of information. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. Paul says, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostles of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. To me, that's an amazing thing. My whole life, the small amount of time that I spent in church and the denominations, the only scriptures that I was ever taught was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A message was given to who only? The Jews. Now I get over in the book of Romans and I find out that there is an apostle for me. There is an apostle for a Gentile. Now, in the Bible, if you study the Bible, the Gentiles were the upright ones and the clean ones, weren't they? They were referred to with honor. No. They were uncircumcised, pork eating, non-Sabbath day observing. Heathen, Baal worshiping, dogs. That's what they were referred to. To be called a Gentile was not a very good thing. You were lower. You were lower, lower level. You can study your Old Testament and you can study the early ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and there was no message given to the Gentiles till the Apostle Paul gets on the scene. There is no message. Look at Galatians chapter 3 with me real quickly. Big difference. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews, and the starting of the ministry of the 12 apostles, they were told not to go to the Gentiles. But Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 that today there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one. Where? In Christ Jesus. Today it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. But in Matthew it was clear, was it not? There was a clear distinction in the book of Matthew. Salvation is of... Go not into the way of... Now you got a guy that says, hey, I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. And my message today... My message today has nothing to do if you're a Jew or a Gentile. What matters is you're in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It amazes me, Paul writes more books in the New Testament than any other author. 13. More than any other one. And unfortunately, they are the most ignored and overlooked passages of Scripture in the Bible. Many of the teachings that I watch on television through various different ministries, barely, they never talk about Paul's message. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel of our salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For y'all folks that are here today in the church, that's not unknown information to you, is it? That makes clear sense to you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for salvation. We have to go back again to the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and let's look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. I just read you a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where the Apostle Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all." What did he deliver? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. The 12 apostles were with Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry. They were there at the crucifixion. They were there at the resurrection. Verse 31 says, "Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." We all understand that, do we not? We just read a verse where our apostle just recited that to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's talking to his 12 here in verse 34. It says, "And they what? Understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Remember when Jesus tells Peter the same thing, it's going to happen to him. What does Peter say? "Not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. And what was Jesus' reaction to Peter? He said, "Stand behind me, who? Satan." See, I was under the impression during my younger years that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were teaching you the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how to be saved. But here, the very 12 here didn't even understand what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was. It's not until we get into the writings of Paul that we understand how all that makes sense. Now when I read Paul's writings and I look back, all that will make sense to me. But you know what I have to do? I have to pray real hard about it. No, I have to do what? I have to study it. Paul says we're supposed to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. I'm supposed to take this word and I'm supposed to rightly divide it. I understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to the nation of Israel. And I know the prayer promises that he gives to the nation of Israel would be fulfilled if they ask them. But I know in the dispensation of grace that I live in today, my apostle is the Apostle Paul. I am a Gentile. I am a member of the body of Christ. And I'm not supposed to be looking for signs, miracles, and wonders and asked to be healed and expecting to be healed and naming it and claiming it. If I've got food in my belly and a shirt on my back, I'm supposed to be content enough to go out and reconcile a lost and dying world to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that helps me a lot. Because I could go home and say, "Lord, I need this. Your verse said I could have it." And when I don't get it, you know what starts happening to me? I start breaking down. Well, there's something wrong with me. The Lord don't love me. Or even worse, God's book isn't what it says it is. The verse said if you name it, you can get it. Paul says, "I asked 3 times and I didn't get it." Which one of those verses is true? Both of them's true. But only one of them's true to you today. And only one of them will work in your life today. Now, a real quick thing here. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul will... and we'll continue this issue of how to understand your Bible. Of course, we can't cover everything in 30 minutes. By far, we're not showing you every single passage. But a real quick thing to look at here, Paul will start to show you three basic ways to divide your Bible. We talked about right division, so let's look at what Paul has to say here. Paul's going to show us in Ephesians chapter 2 the three basic ways to divide your Bible. Look at verse 11. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past," there's your first one, time past, "stay to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth." So he's going to give you your first division. Time past. And he's talking to you Gentiles, and he's going to say, "Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time," what time? What time was he talking about? In the past, in time past, this is who you were. You were what? You were without Christ. Remember, salvation is of who? The Jews. The 12 apostles, he told them, go not unto the who? You stay away from them Gentiles. You go unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles." So, that at that time, in verse 12, as time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So when the Apostle Paul comes on the scene and says, "I'm the Apostle of the Gentiles," boy, that was a big change. And the nation of Israel were very upset with the Apostle Paul because he was going out to a bunch of Gentiles telling them that they'll believe on the one that they put on the cross when he rose again, that they'd have justification and have eternal life by just in that act of trusting what was done for them on Calvary. People, that created a big uproar on the world scene. Now a bunch of heathen, Baal-worshipping Gentile dogs through Jesus Christ can have everlasting life.
Amen.
In the heavenlies by just believing on what happened on Calvary. And that's it. That's it. He said, and we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Did God make a covenant with any Gentile?
Amen.
Did He make any promise to any Gentile?
Amen.
No. You were without hope, it said. Without the nation of Israel in the Old Testament and the early ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as a Gentile, without the nation of Israel, folks, you were without help. You were without hope. Without God in the world. As a Gentile, you had a problem. You had to be converted into Judaism. But here's the issue. He says that in time past. Time passed. So now I've got one division there. When I go back and I see the program dealing with the nation of Israel, where am I? Time passed. When I find circumcision, what am I dealing with? Time passed. Verse 13. Here's your second one. What's that one say? But now, presently, that's, we're not in time past anymore. But now signifies a change has taken effect. But now in Christ, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. Now there's level ground at the cross. Ye who were sometimes far off, who had no connection with God whatsoever, God made no covenant with you, made no promise with you, now by that cross, you're made nigh through His blood. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the last one here is verse 7. It's not over. Time passed, but now how God is operating today, that verse 7, that in the what? Ages to come. Now we got what future? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Three basic divisions right there that will show you how to understand your Bible. Your Old Testament, all the way up through mid parts of the book of Acts, is dealing with the nation of Israel. It's time past. You say, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's in the New Testament. It's still under the Old Testament economy. The law is still in place, and the kingdom gospel is being preached. You're in time past when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the early ministry, the early part of Acts. When you get into Romans through Philemon, you're in but now. And when you get into Hebrews to the book of Revelation, what's a Hebrew? Paul says, I'm the apostle of the who? James chapter 1 says to the 12 Gentiles scattered all over the United States of America. Says to the 12 tribes of who? Guess who he's talking to, folks? And when Jesus said salvation is the Jew, guess who he was talking to? Jew. And when Paul says, I'm the apostle of the Gentile, guess who he was talking to? That's deep. For some people, that's muddy. But to me, it's simple. Let God say what He says and let Him mean what He means. If He says, I'm talking to a Gentile, and here's my apostle to the Gentiles, and I'm going to show you how to study God's Word so that you can make sense of it and understand it, I'm going to believe what He says. And I'm not going to be ashamed when other people go, you say Jesus changes. I never said Jesus changes. I said the Word of God has dealt differently with man through the ages, and if you're a Bible believer, you cannot deny the fact. You cannot deny the fact. God did not always deal with Gentiles, but in the dispensation of grace, He does. And when the dispensation of grace is over, guess who God's going to deal with again? He's going to deal with the nation of Israel, folks, and you better get on the shirt tail of the nation. If you don't go out in the rapture and you come into the 70th week of Daniel, you better find out what's going on with the nation of Israel, because guess who God's going to be moving and working with? The nation of Israel, folks. This program will be over. By far, this is not at all every single verse. But the beautiful thing about this will take care of it. You got questions about the law? Paul's going to answer it for you. Real easy, isn't he? Real simple, he's going to tell you about the law. How about tithing? He's going to take care of tithing for you. Real easy, he's going to answer that for you. It's not a big old long drawn out thing. You try to figure it out. Plain words, he's going to tell you what tithing's all about. Paul says, I didn't come with you with what kind of speech? Excellency of speech. Paul comes in layman words we can understand. How about observing Sabbath days? He going to take care of that for us, Ray? How about baptism? He going to clear that up for you? Sure will. All those questions. He'll clear them up for you. He'll give you verse. He'll give you scripture. And He'll teach you the history of it. Where it originated from and why it doesn't apply to you today and why it will in the ages to come go back into effect again. It's not confusing. It makes sense when you see it. God has a design in His Word. I always quote Brother Jordan on this. He says, the Bible's not hard to understand. It's hard to believe. That's the biggest problem you have. It's hard to believe. You don't want to believe what it says. Hey, I'm a Gentile. It says there's an apostle to a Gentile and he magnifies his office. Well, I'm going to look into what he's got to say about me. And if he says I should be content because I got some vittles in my stomach, I got a shirt on my back, I can name it and claim it all I want, folks. That's not my prayer promise today. All right, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody has any questions after the service, feel free to ask.